Now, the epistle for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to every one according as he will. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. These words are taken from the first epistle of St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A certain priest relates a story about the seal of confession, and similar events to these have occurred numerous times in history. On this occasion, a priest was coming from the local military camp, where he had been called to administer the last sacraments to a soldier. The soldier had been shot the night before by a group of rioters in the city, and the priest was now returning to his rectory. As he was walking, he could hear a voice over a megaphone growing louder and louder as he walked along the sidewalk. And as he turned the corner onto Main Street, Father walked right through the mob of strikers. Mr. Slevsky was stirring up the mob by yelling profanities and anger towards all authority, especially at the government and at the church. The priest heard the words, authority, control, traitors, and these few words gave Father the gist of the whole tirade. As the priest walked past, a look and a glare of hatred showed that Slevsky had noticed the priest. Feeling he was in danger, Father quickened his steps until he was relieved when he finally reached the door of the rectory. The whole town had been roused by the rebel's words over the megaphone, and even some parishioners had been swayed by promises of liberty, free money, and equality. That evening, the sound of a crash of glass and the cheering from the mob was evidence that the streets were even more unsafe than during the day. After Father's frugal meal, the priest stood at the window, seeing the red glow of burning buildings. Father was waiting, ready to be called to assist anyone hurt or dying. At that very moment, a knock sounded on the front door. Father went to the door, opened it, and a woman entered the rectory. The priest recognized her and wondered why Slevsky's wife was entering the rectory. This young woman did not come to church. And she looked frightened as the priest just waited for her to speak. "Tell me," she began quickly, "is it true that no single word of a confession may ever be revealed by the priest?" Father answered, "Yes, it is true." "Even if he were to die for it," she urged. "Even if he were to die for it." She went on, "May the priest betray it by an action." "No, not even by an action," Father said. "Even if he died for it," her voice was full of anxiety. "Even then," Father replied. "I wish to confess," she said, "but I must do it quickly." Once they entered the church, she knelt in the confessional, and after a pause, the priest asked, "How long has it been since your last confession?" "I was to confession 3 years ago." She paused and she shuddered. "It was before I married him, and never since. Listen now, for there isn't much time." The woman went on without taking a breath. "They are going to murder you, Father. I heard the whole thing. They think that you are being paid by the government and working against us. One of them will come tonight and ask you to go on a sick call. They intend to shoot you at the bridge over Mud Run." Then finally breathing, the woman continued, "I had to warn you to prepare. I could not see you killed without at least a prayer, and that's all I can say. My husband would know at once that I told you if you reveal it. He suspects me already. If he knows I am here, he will be sure I confessed to you. He would kill me, Father, and I am not ready to die just yet." The priest calmly answered, "Then do not trouble your mind about it anymore. God will take care of me. Now finish your confession." In 10 minutes, the woman had left. The priest was now alone. Father went back to the house, picked up his breviary, and finished his daily prayers. Outwardly, he was calm, but inwardly, he was indeed very afraid. His eyes fell upon the crucifix above his desk in his room, and there was sweat coming over his face. He was both cold and hot. He went back to the church, and kneeling before the altar, he awaited his sick call. In half an hour, the rectory bell rang, and Father's housekeeper answered it. The housekeeper found Father and told him, "Mr. DeGresse was asking if you could see his wife who is sick. He lives on the other side of Mud Run, and she seems to be dying, Father." The priest followed the older woman into the house, but DeGresse had left the front door. Getting his holy oils and his coat, Father gave a last glance at the crucifix, the suffering and crucified Savior gazing down at him seemed to be smiling at his priest. On the street, the priest walked along, his lips moving as he went, headed toward the bridge. And years later, this whole story of the priest's death was told by Slevsky himself, after he had been arrested for many crimes and anarchy. Now, my dear faithful, one of the most effective tools of the devil in keeping someone from confession is inordinate shame. The devil tries to make us worry, what will Father think? He tempts souls to be embarrassed to confess their sins. And he uses shame to dissuade souls and keep souls, bar souls, from confessing clearly, honestly, and sincerely. However, confession is really between the penitent and God. The God-man instituted the sacrament of penance, and it is by God's divine power that sins may be forgiven. St. John the Apostle taught this at the very beginning of his first epistle. He says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity." Very clearly does St. John teach that God forgives and washes away our sins when we confess them to him in the sacrament of penance. It was, of course, out of the Sacred Heart's divine mercy and love that he made it possible that sins could be forgiven by God's power even today. He did this by entrusting that power to his priests, who are other Christs himself, when he said, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven." When the priest pronounces the words of absolution, it is God who absolves those sins. It is by his power. And it is God's design in this powerful sacrament. Repel then, my dear faithful, the deceitful shame which the devil stirs up himself. Turn from the insinuations and delusions of the devil, who wants nothing more than to keep souls from the confessional. And the greatest reproof to the devil is the seal of confession. That sacred duty of secrecy that keeps the confession between the penitent, this one soul, and God himself, who created the whole world. The seal of confession is thus a grave obligation on the priest and on anyone who has any knowledge of anything said in the confessional, an obligation of inviolable secrecy, binding under pain of mortal sin and also sacrilege. That is, even if the priest were to die for it, he would have to safeguard the confessional. Even if a penitent confessed a civil crime and the priest were put on the stand in the court of law, the priest would not say anything or act according to what was confessed, because one priest explains why, saying, if the priest were questioned, he ought to declare to the judge, even under oath, that he knows nothing of the subject in question. For information he learns through confession, he only knows as the representative of God Almighty. And in this quality, he is not subject to the jurisdiction of any earthly court. The seal, then, is an inviolable and sacred contract between God and the priest, and which preserves the sanctity of the sacrament of penance and gives confidence to the penitent. This fact is just what we see in the story. The priest knowingly walked to his death to keep the seal intact, and he became a martyr for the seal of confession. How pleased God was with this priest's loyal martyrdom, and how unhappy was the devil. Beware then, in our own case, how happy would Satan be to cause our souls to be embarrassed to confess our sins straightforwardly and honestly. Vanquish these temptations with a firm resolve to pay no attention whatsoever to the wily snares of Satan. For Satan's wicked designs are frustrated when the sinner confidently and sincerely approaches the confessional. And at the same time, how pleased would God be, the Sacred Heart, when his sacraments are frequented, when sins are washed away, when his prodigal children return back to the Sacred Heart, and souls receive the graces and help to become saints and draw closer to the Sacred Heart. Remember then, my dear faithful, no one desires the salvation of our soul more than anyone, more than God. No one is more willing also to deceive us and ruin us more than the devil. And let us then never listen to Lucifer's clever lies. Let us never fear to approach the sacrament of penance. And let us always, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart, draw closer and closer to the refuge of sinners, the merciful Sacred Heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.